Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
You might want to take your Bibles this morning, turn to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. By the way, I shared with you concerning Barney, and he told me I could share. And before I left, I said, Barney, he's 82 years of age. I said, be good to see 85, wouldn't it, if the Lord tarries? He said, Pastor, that'd be wonderful. So that's what I prayed for him there in the hospital room, that God would give him a few more years, because he's not going to do the chemo thing. He's going to live till he dies. And you pray for him. Would you do that? Pray that he gets to 85. And it would be wonderful if Jesus comes this afternoon or sometime this year. I'm all for that. I know he is all for that as well. Yesterday, I want to start this message by saying yesterday I went to the funeral of a preacher brother, Orville Theaker, contemporary, but he was my senior, and Orville was 71 years of age. I didn't think of him as 71 years of age. He didn't act like he was 71 years of age. He pastored the Baptist Church in Wolverine, Michigan, little town there off of I-75. It was his hometown. I didn't realize that until yesterday afternoon. He pastored another church for 15 years before he pastored the Wolverine Baptist Church for 35 years. And he was a faithful man. I want you to know he was rock solid in the Word of God. He's a Bible fundamentalist, always had a smile on his face, never willing to compromise, but he was a strong light in that little community. Hundreds of people were at that funeral. People testified. People that he led to Christ. His consistent character. He, like Dr. Norton, very similar. In fact, a contemporary of Dr. Norton, was very consistent and loved God and an avid soul winner. And God used him. And I said to his bride yesterday afternoon, and Orville came to every function we had here at this church. Every old school gathering, everything that he could get to, he came. He was just a good brother and a right-spirited brother. He wasn't old and cantankerous. That wasn't Orville Theaker. And I said to his bride yesterday that there's a hole in northern Michigan. And everybody was weeping around the casket. And I said, but there's no hole in heaven. And that's where he is today. For 35 years, and this is what he was known for, and I've decided to adopt it, and it would be good if everybody here did. When people would ask Orville Theaker, Pastor Theaker, hey, how you doing? His answer was always the same. You were there yesterday, Pastor Bill. What was his answer?
I'm saved and I'm enjoying it.
And I said, you know what? He's gone. I'm going to pick up the mantle. How about you do the same thing? All right? A lot of us, we could do the same thing. Hey, how you doing? Walmart, wherever you are. Saved, and I'm enjoying it. Man, that's the right message, isn't it? That is the right message. God has a plan for your life. That's what this message is about this morning. We could go to 1 Corinthians. I thought about doing that. We could go to Psalm 37. That was the text that was read this morning, and I thought about doing that. We could go all over the Word of God, and I could preach this message. I thought, man, the best I can, I think I'm going to stay right in the Gospel of Matthew. So turn to the book of Matthew, and you may not know all the books of the Bible by heart. You need to learn them, all right? You need to become familiar with your Bible, but turn to the book of Matthew, and we're going to start with chapter 4, and I'm just going to cherry pick. I don't preach this way normally, but I'm going to cherry pick, just like I did in Sunday school this morning, some passages out of the book of Matthew and speak to you concerning the will of God for your life. We live in a dark day. There's economic turmoil. Our country is trillions of dollars in debt. I don't believe we'll ever see the light of day. Something's going to happen. Something is going to break. Immorality is the norm in America today. Perversion, everybody is doing that which is right in their own eyes. Abortion, one of our national sins that we just seem to mention from time to time. Think about this. Think about it. We are approaching 60 million murders in America. America has blood on its hands. Now, let's not leave that thought. I'm going to move on, but think on it. 60 million. I can't picture that number. I can't picture it. I don't know how to measure that. We live in a wicked country, a dark culture.
Our core values are gone. The Judeo-Christian way of life is not normal. The old-time religion is under attack. You say, preacher, what am I to do? I want you to know there's hope. I want you to know that hope is found in a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you this morning that the Good Shepherd has a plan for your life. In the year 2015, if you're 13, if you're 8, if you're 68, if you're 85, if you're 32, whatever age you are, God has a plan for your life. And maybe you've messed it up from up right up until this point. I'm telling you, from this point on, I want you to be confronted by Jesus Christ and the will of God that He has for your life. From this point on, you can choose to do right. God's plan for your life, listen to this, is exactly what you need. That is so obvious. It sounds funny that I have to state it. But maybe you've got big plans. Maybe you think you're going to go and do this. You're going to move off and do this. Maybe you're a young person. You're thinking, I'm going to get out of this area. I'm going to do this. Man, God's plan for your life is exactly what you need. Vocation or location is really not what's important. Salvation and dedication, that's what's important. Not where or not what you do for a living. When I'm speaking of God's plan for your life, I'm not saying that the man that digs a ditch for a living in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan is any less important than the president of the bank in Detroit, Michigan. God doesn't look at it that way. God has a plan for your life. And if God's plan for your life is to dig ditches, and you do it to the glory of God, you have purpose and you have peace. Without being in the center of God's will for your life, there's no purpose in your life. And there's no peace in your life. You're on and you're off. You're up and you're down. I don't care what I mentioned dig ditches because the big time revival meeting that I preached down in Jackson, Michigan, a wonderful meeting. There were people here. There was a family from prayer meeting last Wednesday night from Jackson, Michigan that were down. They were down at that revival meeting. I was excited that they came north just to be here for a church service. The only one that could get away was prayer meeting. So they were here for prayer meeting. And it was a great meeting. But I want you to know the big shot preacher that was the preacher, you know what we did on Monday afternoon? We dug a ditch. And it's the last thing. I try to avoid digging ditches around here now. You know, I'm 58. You know, I'm a little bit concerned about a heart attack from time to time. So I try to pace myself. I actually got a blister down there in Jackson, Michigan. Here's what happened. We're eating lunch. We're eating a late breakfast. It's brunch on Monday morning. I'm with the pastor. The pastor says, man, we got to get that ditch dug around the parking lot because they had a short in their light out at the sign. And everybody else is working. And so I can hear him lining this up. He's going to get some shovels and some Ralmo shovels and that, that, and he's going to dig it by himself. And I'm thinking while I'm eating, God, I don't want to hear this. Why did you allow me to hear that, God? I said, Dan, do you need some help digging that ditch? His eyes lit up and he was speaking so I couldn't hear, but I'm nosy. And that boy, that'll cost you. He said, you want to help dig that ditch? I said, yeah, I'll help you. We worked hard all afternoon. And, Monday night was one of the best services we had. Doesn't matter what your vocation is. Hey, in the family of God, nobody is any more or less important than anybody else because of the job that they perform here. You know what's important? That we do it for the glory of God. God's plan for your life is exactly what you need. Look at Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17. Matthew and chapter 4 and verse 17. From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Then they straightway left their nets and followed him. The plan of God for your life involves bringing glory to God in whatever days and whatever moments God gives you on this planet. No matter what your vocation, no matter what your job, you're to do it for the glory of God. Okay, here's the plan of God for your life. That was just introduction. I want you to see right in the scripture. Turn to Matthew and chapter 7 and verse 13. Matthew and chapter 7 and verse 13. So you know I'm not going to address what you do for a living. And I'm not going to address location, where you're at. Wherever you're at, that's where God has called you. You need to surrender where you're at and let God use you today. Today, because you may not have it tomorrow. You could have a heart attack. You might get the message that you got the big C, you got cancer. Everything could change tomorrow. But right now, you breathe in, you breathe out, you're still alive, your heart's still pumping. Right now, this is where you're at, and you're living this present moment for the glory of God. First thing you need to know, as far as God's plan for your life, is that you're going to go to heaven. First thing you need to understand, this is God's plan for your life, that you will get to heaven. Not come close to getting to heaven, but you will get to heaven. So that when you draw your last breath here in this earth, you won't surprisingly wake up in the fires of hell. God wants you to get to heaven. Look what it says, Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. He said there's a broad way that says all religions worship the same God, and all religions, no matter what they call God, are going in the same direction. And then there's the straight and narrow way that Jesus spoke of when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's the way of the cross that leads home. It's the old blood-stained path of Calvary. It's the way of redemption that's provided only by the Son of God. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I call that the old-time religion. Over 400 times in the Bible, it says there's one way to heaven, and that's being saved. That's being born again. That's trusting Jesus as your Savior. But it's confusing. The very next verse talks about false prophets and wolves in sheep's clothing. Take your Bibles, turn to Matthew in chapter 7 and verse 21. Verse 21 should be on the same page. This speaks to the great white throne judgment. This is where all will one day appear that do not know Christ as their Savior. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's kind of a shocking statement. It's not exaggerated. Jesus said that. Not everyone that calls me Lord, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many, you might want to circle that word, will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Preachers. Say, Pastor, you mean there are men standing in pulpits this morning that aren't going to get to God's heaven? Nope. And it's God's will that they get saved. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's not a Calvinist. God said, whosoever will may come. God knows who's going to get saved. He's sovereign, but his foreknowledge is not his forecause. God doesn't send it. God doesn't damn anybody to hell. God doesn't choose you're going to heaven and you're going to hell. That's foolishness. That is incongruent with the word of God. God said, you come, you come. The invitation is for every sinner. And if you don't choose Christ, if you don't get born again, then you damn yourself to hell. That's what the scripture says. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity. I never knew you. God's will for your life is, number one, that you get to heaven. And the message of salvation is crystal clear in the Word of God. And all the work has been done. He said, I'm the door. He said, I'm the bread of life. He said, whosoever drinketh of me shall never thirst. Calvary's work is finished. He rose from the grave. He conquered death. And all you need do to go to God's heaven is ask Jesus to be your Savior, repenting of your sin. I know what God's will for your life is. Number one, you get saved. After salvation, it is God's will for your life that you get baptized. Number two, look at Matthew chapter 3. Go back in the book of Matthew earlier to the third chapter, and we have the example of Jesus Christ, verses 13 through 17. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. Comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven, there's the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Baptism's not salvation. Jesus did not have to get saved. But baptism is a picture of salvation. It's an outward testimony that you are born again. When people get baptized up here in this tank, it's just regular H2O that they're being baptized in. That's not holy water. And they're already born again. They're already saved. They're identifying with Jesus Christ. That's why the Great Commission includes baptism in Matthew in chapter 28. And it tells us to go out and teach all nations. That's evangelism. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's baptism. And teaching them all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And that's discipleship. And that is the Great Commission to the church. Don't miss it. You need to get baptized after you get saved. That's joining the church. That doesn't make you a member of the body of Christ, but that makes you a member of that local body, that New Testament church, that local New Testament church. And you're saying, "I'm in. Count me in. I know it's God's will for you in your life after you get saved to follow him in baptism." You say, "Preacher, I've never been baptized." "I have been saved." Well, then you need to present yourself for baptism even this morning during the altar call, and we'll take care of it tonight or in the near future. You need to get baptized. Again, it's not salvation. I won't belabor this because I can actually touch on this in my final point here this morning, second to final point. I know it's God's will for you to be faithful to church. And the Bible tells us and speaks in the book of Matthew of the disciples being close to Christ and learning of him and sitting at his feet. And that's the equivalent of the New Testament local church this morning. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews in chapter 10 and verse 25, we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day? The return of Christ. But we're to excite one another unto good works. That comes by being loyal to Christ's church. Don't ever badmouth the local church in my presence. If Jesus is king, the local church is queen. The local church is not perfect. You know why? Because sinners go to the local church. And the pastor of the local church, the assistant pastors, let me start there because I could wax eloquent on that. The assistant pastors of the local church, they're sinners. I could share stories with you. I won't go there this morning, but I could share stories. And the truth is, I have not yet arrived myself. Even in making fun of them this way, I probably am revealing a sin nature. But we're not perfect. We're not perfected yet. We're not yet home to glory. The church is not perfected yet. But the church is God's idea. And he said, "Man, be faithful." That's how you're going to evangelize. That's how you're going to reach your Jerusalem and then the uttermost parts of the world. I know the will of God for your life. Not talking about vocation. Not talking about location. Number one, the will of God for your life is that you get to heaven. When it's all said and done, when the dust clears, you open your eyes in God's presence. Number two, that you get baptized after your salvation. You get saved, and then you get baptized. And then you get faithful to the local church. That's how you're going to grow. Matthew chapter 6, turn back there. Fourth point, get Jesus first in your life. That's the will of God. You know how to live a life without regrets? Wholeheartedly surrender to Jesus Christ. Wholeheartedly, without reservation, make him number one in your life. In every area of your life. Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Jesus first. Foolishly, men in their own rationale put their job in front of Jesus, put their family in front of Jesus, put their personal life and their hobbies in front of Christ. They know Jesus ought to be first, but when there comes a choice, when there comes to a fork in the road, they choose something other than Jesus. That's not the message that Christ gave here in Matthew chapter 6. I'll quote it again. "Seek ye first," verse 33, "seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Look at verse 19, chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19, our personal life. "Whosoever therefore," I'm in the wrong chapter, I'm sorry. Chapter 6 and verse 19. "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through the steel." And the truth, the simple truth is, all the treasures of this earth that you can hold are one day going to be gone. You might not ever get a chance to use them. So don't put your faith there, all right? But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Jesus knew that where whatever you treasured in life, that's where your heart will be. So he said, in your personal life, make sure it's not your treasures. Make sure it's Jesus. In your family, let's read on here, verse 22 through verse 24. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. And if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Now verse 24, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. Many a foolish man has put his family in front of God, in front of the things of God. And I'm saying that's a foolish decision. Let me put it where the rubber meets the road. We don't go to church on Sunday night because we need family time. And however many kids you got in your family, you preach that many messages. Family time is not church time. I don't cut it. I'm just telling you the way it is, because it's Jesus first. I'm to line up with the book, and God will give me all kinds of family time. I feel bad. I do. I know men and ladies, you work a lot of hours. For some people here, Sunday is your only day off, and yet you're faithful. God bless you. And I know he has, and I know he'll continue to. You'll never regret putting God first in your life. Mammon, by the way, is the search for money, the god of money. Verses 25 and 26, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. And are ye not much better than they? And I want to testify here very quickly that God meets my every need. And ever since I surrendered to Christ, it's never been any different. God has always met my needs. And I want you to know that's a whole lot better than me struggling to make ends meet. Just trust God and do God. I get a burden in my life, and boy, I get a lot of them. People are burdened. They bring to me their troubles, and there's heartache in every direction. Not a week goes by, and sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night, and it's there, and I got to take it to the Lord in prayer. But I want you to know this. God has always, always met my needs. And one of the best things I can do is just go out and visit somebody. Try to lead somebody to Christ. You talk about putting something, everything in perspective, that puts everything in perspective. He said, seek ye first the will of God for your life. Listen to the Bible. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That's verse 33. I got one more thing I want to say because I'm about out of time. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15 says, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Matthew chapter 5, I think I already read that in the beginning. In verse 19, Christ said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Let's look at Matthew chapter 9 and verses 36 through 38. Matthew chapter 9 and verses 36 through 38. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. The fields, Jesus said, are white unto harvest, John chapter 4. He said, look about you. There are people. This is through the eyes of Christ, but this is what he said. There are people in every direction, everywhere. And it's ripe. The harvest is ripe. And if it's not harvested soon, it'll be destroyed. Barney said, the older I get, the more I weep. I was able to make him feel good and say, you know what? I think that happens with everybody. Because the truth is, everybody that's trying to walk with God, because the truth is, the last few weeks, I was starting to think something was wrong with me. Because I'd hear a phrase, something biblical, something from a song, and I'd start to weep. I'd read my Bible and start to sob. There are 38,000 people in Chippewa County. They're not all here. Very few are in good churches. Who's going to reach them? I was reminded that Jesus, one of his titles in his earthly ministry, was a man of sorrows. I know he laughed, and I know he, because he spoke of joy, but people are dying without Christ. We got to reach them. Get close to God. Homer Roadheaver was the song leader for Billy Sunday. the old Billy Sunday Crusades. One time after one of the services in the back room, everything was finally settled down. The night was over. Homer Roadheaver went into the back room and he found Billy Sunday weeping. He had his hands in his face and tears streaming down between his fingers. He said, "Billy, what's wrong? Hundreds of people came to Christ tonight." And Homer Roadheaver said, Billy Sunday's response was this, "But hundreds didn't. We're not doing a great job of reaching our Jerusalem. We're reaching some. Bring somebody to heaven with you. That's the will of God. That fishers of men thing, it's God's will that you get to heaven. It's God's will that you get baptized. It's God's will that you put Jesus first in everything in your life. It's God's will that you bring somebody to heaven with you."
We have a fine K-12 academy here on the campus of Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. It is highly academic and Christ-centered. If you have a child or even a grandchild, we invite you to check us out at fbconline.net. Maybe you would like scholarship, a needy student. So please contact us at 906-495-5200. The website is fbconline.net. You can help us reach the next generation by training champions for Christ.